Good morning, folks, and I hope that you have led a safe week and will continue to remember, don't come, don't give if it affects your family in any way. You take care of your family. But God says for us to make sure that we unite together. Well, now, if this is the only way that we can get together, then we're going to get together this way. We practiced telemedicine last week, my wife and I both, and I found that quite interesting, but I also found something pleasant about it. Neither one of us had to sit in a waiting room worried about who's sitting beside of us. This morning, as we come together, I want you to remember to pray one for another. I want you to lift a nation that is being crippled. I want you to lift our nation, one nation under God, indivisible. We're going to say that in a moment. And I want you to lift that nation to the Lord in prayer. As we go to the Lord in prayer now, I want you to remember this. We're thanking God for allowing us the opportunity to proclaim His holy word. Folks, as long as the word of God is proclaimed, souls will be saved, lives will be changed, and you will always see victory in Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts to you this hour. Father, there's so many that are broken, so many individuals that are hurting. Father, there's so much fear throughout our land and pain throughout the world. We lift it all to you, Lord, for we know not what to do. We don't know what to say, Father, but we do bow our heart, bow our knee, bear all of who we are to you. We ask now, Father, as you touch our life, touch the service this hour. Give us the knowledge, Heavenly Father, that we might understand the wisdom that you have waiting for us when we turn to your word, when we turn to you in prayer. We ask, Father, as you touch our life, heal those, Father, who are broken spiritually. For, Father, all the physical healing in the world, how great it might be, but without that spiritual healing, it is all for naught. Touch our lives now as we worship our risen Savior in spirit and in truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I did last Sunday, I will do again this Sunday. I want to remind you that when we go to the Lord in prayer and we're thanking God for all the blessings that are so abundantly given to us, that we must remember this nation, the United States of America, the greatest nation of all creation today, this great nation needs to continue to pray and to lift a heart to God. Because when I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, I pledge allegiance to a nation, one nation under God, that is given to us by God. So therefore, if you will now, if you're in a room where you have the American flag, where you can face that American flag, stand with me now as I lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. God continues to bless in so many different ways. Now I want to list those individuals that I know of and am aware of for our weekly prayer time. I want to give you a little update on some and encourage you, give them a call. These are church members, church family. You know them. You have the directory. You have their numbers. Give them a call. Let them know that you're remembering them in the Lord in prayer. Brother Norman and Miss Patricia, they continue to heal. Brother Norm, I get to talk to him several times a week, and I know the battles that are being fought there, and I pray that God's blessing be upon he and Miss Patricia. But let me tell you, and let me encourage other families while I'm saying this. He has, both of them have a blessed family of kids. That kids are probably driving them crazy, watching after them. But it's a good crazy to be, to know that you have someone out there that loves you and is coming back and forth taking care of you. Miss Lovell Cottrell, I know, Miss Lovell, that you're battling a lot also and have for several years. And I know that your family is watching after you. I ask that as we remember you in prayer, we remember also those loved ones who minister to your needs. Thank you, Miss Lovell. You're a great, great Christian friend. Bob Woosley. Bob has been locked in home, and he told me that he's going to be there for a couple of months. Now, folks, a couple of months is a long time when you're locked in the house. We've been in it for a couple of weeks. That's a long time, you know, trying to keep everybody happy and all of this. But Brother Bob is alone over there, so I want you to make sure you lift Bob Woosley to the Lord in prayer. Mary Smith, and as you're lifting Miss Mary Smith to the Lord also, as she had a fall, she's doing well now, but you need to continue to pray. It was just revealed to me this past week that I, just because I'm 74 years old, did you realize that they told me that I am now a senior and I'm at risk? Well, it was almost insulting. It just as insulting driving up through the drive-thru and them saying, I gave you your discount, and you're wanting to have a little talk with that young person. I didn't ask for the discount, but then after I started getting a discount, I like it. I really do. Okay, Miss Mary Smith, you hang in there, girl. Claude Kidder continues his battles at home. Miss Marion watching over him. Dwayne Farrell. Dwayne is healing well from his heart attack he had a couple of weeks ago. And he told me that he probably need to be on the prayer list, but his pastor overruled him. He's still on it. And I encourage each of you to lift him to the Lord in prayer. Now, let me also bring up Bob Hurley. Bob lost his mother this past week. And Bob, I want you to know that our prayers are certainly with you in the loss of your mom. I know the pain that you go through, my friend, and our concerns are with you. I want you to remember Faye, my wife. Faye is at home, and she was diagnosed with shingles this past Thursday, going through tremendous pain. And any of you who have been through shingles, you know what she is talking about. So I want you to remember her in prayer. You know, again, when we start aging, whether you all notice it or not, those of us who are aging, it hurts more today than it did when I was in the Marine Corps as a young 18-year-old. Now, let me give you an update on myself, because I have been fussed at for not keeping folk up. I try to. But I am going to have to go in and have my right kidney removed. It is cancerous. But I'm unable to be able to go into the hospital at this time for various reasons of infection, danger, and coronavirus. And a test that needs to be done before they can do the take out the kidney. So I'll be waiting, and it could be a few weeks, they tell me. I'm on the top of the list to go in, but I seem to think that I'm safer by dealing with the cancer than I am going in a hospital right now. And I happen to have agreed. Again, I want you to make sure that you're taking the coronavirus situation seriously. Folks, this is a killer. You can't see it coming. You think you won't get it. And so therefore you take chances. Don't take the chance. I want you to remember others. I want you to remember that what you do, your actions are going to affect others. Now, on a brighter note, way of thinking that I have for us today, I want to encourage you to start focusing on Easter Sunday morning. That's April the 12th, 11 a.m. Now, no, I'm not going to have you come inside the church. We're still going to be in a dangerous situation. I would never encourage that. But here's what I am encouraging you to do. We're going to have drive-in services here at Vine Grove Baptist Church on April the 12th, Easter Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Now, members, you know how it's killing you having to stay away from church this longer period of time, and not by your choice. So I encourage you to come to drive into our parking lot. Our security teams will be out there. They'll be parking you, and we will sit in your cars and listen to WKMO, our personal radio station that those folks down there love, Vine Grove Baptist Church. They're godly folks and very patriotic, and we will listen on your radios out in your vehicle. Don't want you getting out. Now, it doesn't mean that I probably won't be walking out there waving at you and all of this stuff, but what it does mean is it's Easter, and I know that it's bothered you that you've been separated. So this is the time, honk. You want to say amen, honk your horn. Hey, you want to say praise the Lord, turn on your lights, but don't forget to turn them off. God continues to love us. God continues to bless us. And God continues to give us a way to come and worship. I really have to watch myself because you have those that are anti-church, anti-Christian, that are doing everything they can to spot a mistake that is making within the church services or broadcast. So therefore, we're watching it real close here to make sure that nothing it happens that is not legal to be taking place. What a shame. I encourage everyone to tune in. Tune in to church. If you can't tune in Vine Grove Baptist Church, tune in another church. But you worship. You take the time out during the week and you worship a risen Savior. This morning I'm going to talk to us about the 8 Christian principles to making wise decisions. Now, everyone seems to be making decisions. Everyone has an opinion. But the key is there any wisdom in those decisions? And is there any wisdom in what you're getting ready to tell someone else they ought to do? And before you do say that, do you do what you're getting ready to tell someone else? Are you paying attention to the wise decisions from God's Word? Because you see, that's number one. It's a principle. Check the Bible. It's the revelation. God says, I will reveal to you what you need for that moment. I will reveal to you what is going to take place for each day that you are serving me on planet Earth. Now, when you back away from God, you back away from God's Word. When you back away from God's Word, then that means you backed away from the wisdom of the day. You want enough wisdom for the day? Read one verse. Have one prayer. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing today. Please have mercy on me, a sinner. And open your Bible, read a scripture. Well, you know, that verse didn't mean anything to me. I got news for you. You remember that verse. Use that verse that day. And then tell me about it after that day that it didn't mean something to you. God always speaks to us and gives us that wisdom. Proverbs 2, verses 6 and 7. It is the Lord who gives wisdom. Man can give you knowledge. Man can give you human wisdom. Well, human wisdom has no authority in a spiritual condition. Your eternal life is not based on human wisdom or human knowledge. God says, I will give you the wisdom. From him comes knowledge and understanding. Godly knowledge, not the knowledge of man, godly knowledge. It's a revelation, God unveiling his truth to you and me. He provides help and protection, like that one. He provides health and protection for those who are righteous and honest. You want to be honest with yourself? Start with the Word of God. You want to be honest with those around you? Use the Word of God. You want to be honest with God? Bend a knee in prayer and admit you cannot do it on your own. Can't do what, preacher? You can do nothing on your own. Without the blessing of Almighty God, it doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter how much property you own. Doesn't matter how big the car. It doesn't matter how big that motorcycle that you ought not be on. It doesn't matter. You know what matters? What matters is, have you asked God's blessing and given him thanks for what you do have? How many people have lost about everything they saved in this past few months? Some in just a few weeks. Do you have the courage to smile at it and say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord? Are you going to fuss and feud and get mad at God? God loves us. He gave his only begotten Son. He sent his Son to a cross. His Son chose to walk to that cross for you and for me individually. That's the revelation that happens to be the principle of the Bible given to us by God, his holy word. Principle number two, get the facts. Get the facts. Oh, I know what they said. Did you hear what they said? Did you see what was on the internet? And you know the internet doesn't lie. Did you hear what they said on radio or TV? Have we not caught on yet that not everything that we hear comes from God? Have we not caught on that 90% of the stuff that comes into our listening ears in our own homes is straight from the pits of hell? Without wisdom from God, without that wisdom that God's going to give us to make the wise decisions, then we will fall to the prey of those who are going to proclaim the lies concerning God. Many will say there is no God. Do you know what the Scripture calls a fool? Well, what's a fool? I know that's a nasty word and I shouldn't be using it, preacher. God says in his holy word, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now, how are you going to get wisdom from a fool? How do you expect to get a way of life, an understanding about the path that God has laid out for you? How do you expect to stay on that path if you get it from a fool? So God said, be wise, get the facts. Proverbs 13:16, every prudent man, paying attention, particular, every prudent man acts out of knowledge. Make sure that you get the facts about every situation. Fact is, coronavirus kills. Well, but it don't kill everybody. Yeah, well, it may kill you. Does that change the way you're thinking? Folks, don't be foolish. Make wise decisions. We are Christians. We are never, ever to tempt God in our Christian walk by saying, oh, God's not going to let anything happen to me. I think I'll just walk right on out there in the middle of that highway because I see the big semi coming, and God is going to protect me because I'm a Christian. No, your pastor is going to have to bury what's left of you. You have just challenged and mocked God. We are not to do that, Christians. We are to act with wisdom directly given to us by God. Then you know what we need to do? Ask for advice. Oh, man, that's a hard one. Husbands and wives, ask for advice from each other. That ain't easy, is it? Well, I don't know, preacher. Now, I know more than my wife. Well, your wife told me the other day she was a lot smarter than you. Do we not understand that wisdom and advice go together? I love to have people say, now, preacher, I think you're wrong on that. Now, the preacher has to make a decision. But I love people that's going to confront me with the ideals that I feel that whether God has given to me, because I got to watch myself. Do you realize how easy it is that you're going to let your own thoughts or your own ideas seep into what God has planned? So therefore, you get advice. Proverbs 20, verse 18. Plans succeed through good counsel. Plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without the advice of others. You and I have been in a spiritual warfare ever since we said yes to Jesus Christ. The coronavirus is nothing compared to the spiritual virus of sin that is eating this nation alive. And throughout the world, false gods have arisen, false religions in our nation, false, fake, false, continually. And God said, I want you to be wise and make those wise decisions, making sure that you get wise counsel. The advice of others gives you the direction for the battle spiritually. When you come to a pastor, do you not ask the pastor, I'm in this battle, I need to fight. I don't know what I'm doing. Will you pray for me? And the pastor will do all that he can to pray. And the pastor will try to give spiritual, scriptural content of wisdom direct from God to you. But it's up to you. It is your responsibility as an individual Christian to accept that word from God and then you apply it to your individual life. Your pastor does not know what God has called you to do unless he sees you doing it. Oh, I'm with you, Pastor. Are you with the pastor? Does that mean you're with him in spirit, with him in your mind? But here's the key. It doesn't matter about the pastor. When you say, Jesus, I love you. Do you love Jesus? Do you love him enough that you're going to be committed to praise his name, to come to his service, to unite together? I don't know about you all that are listening, but let me tell you something. Knowing that we cannot congregate, knowing that the Christian congregation cannot legally unite together. Folks, I miss my hugs from you. I miss your smiling faces. And that one group or several of you, you know who you are, you grouches. I love you to death and I miss those grouchy remarks. But you know what I truly miss more than all of that is our opportunity to unite together and praise the Lord in one voice. Brother Randy is going to have his praise team starting next Sunday. They will be in separate places here and all of that. You don't worry about that. We will go by the rules. And as he's going to share on the Palm Sunday, which is next Sunday, the 8th, next Sunday, and I want you to remember this. As they sing the praises of God, they will be back again on that Easter Sunday morning to praise God, hoping that we have a parking lot full of members that have come to just be here. We might not be able to hug. We might not be able to do much but wave at each other. But you know, I haven't got to wave at you. It'll mean a world to me. And I'm going to take every opportunity I have before I go in for this major surgery and go in. I'm going to proclaim the word loud and clear to all who will listen. And I've had that advice from all those who give me Christian advice. Proclaim the word, preacher. Principle number 4, set a goal. Set a goal. You're on an individual path. Set a goal. Well, what's your goal? My goal is making it from day to day. What's your goal on that path? What are you reaching for? You know what I want? I want my life to glorify God. Now, I know that people say, well, yeah, but you're praying for a healing. Listen to me, people. Healing, the greatest healing I will ever have, is to glorify God. Therefore, whatever God decides is fine with me, and I can tell you and reassure you of this. He is in control. And when I feel that he says, don't go in there yet, I ain't going. God has control over each of us. Set the goal. My goal is to go in, get this cancer and kidney out of me, to come back and continue preaching, continue my ministry that God has called me to do. Now, that goal is set in my mind. Will it work? We'll see. Do I feel that it'll work? I wouldn't have set the goal if I didn't think it would work. But you see, life's past, the journey you're on. It doesn't mean that God is mad at you if you make a misstep through that path, or if you don't exactly hit that goal like you had decided. Doesn't mean that God's upset with you. It means that God knows in your heart that through your heart you dedicated that service to him. And the glory in that is the faith you have that he is in control and whatever God wills. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Remember that. And encourage your fellow Christians. Remember that. And give God the glory. Well, what if something bad happens? Give God the glory. What bad can happen to a child of God? You live, you get to serve God. You may be hurting during the process of serving. Oh, it just gives you a good reason to shout, I guess. Woo, praise the Lord. And all of a sudden they say, where did that come from? That came from my side. It was really hurting bad. But you praise God in all that you do. Setting that goal, stumble, fall in the ditch of life along that path, but that goal's still there. And the goal for me is to glorify God. Proverbs 4, verses 25 through 27. Look straight ahead. I mean, do you remember? You remember the Apostle Peter? Peter was doing good, folks. I'd say when you're walking on water, you're doing pretty good. So Peter, this human being, and I'm talking about so flawed as a human being, it's amazing. Hard-headed, short-tempered, the whole bit. But you know what? He loved the Lord. And yet he's walking on water. You know what happened? He quit looking straight ahead. Jesus said, Peter, come to me. Peter steps out of the boat, walking towards him. But he took his eyes off Jesus. Listen, America. You take your eyes off of Jesus Christ, you're going to sink. You will sink. And it will take a hand reaching down to grab us through a hard-heartedness. Peter! Why didn't you believe? Because Peter decided to take his eyes straight off of Jesus and look to the storm that was raging around him. I don't have time for coronavirus. I don't have time for the storm. Will I get it? For sure, just like anybody else can. But I'm not going to worry about it. But I'm going to use wisdom to do all that I can to keep from ever getting it or giving it to someone else. Therefore, I have to keep my eyes straight ahead. There's a goal out there, and that goal is to glorify God. Then it takes wisdom to glorify God, and the only wisdom that will glorify God is the wisdom that is given from His holy word. God said, I give to you life. What are you going to do with it? I give you hope. I give you a goal. And I promise you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Peter lost faith because he saw the storm. He saw the coronavirus of his time. He lost faith and he started to sink. It was not Peter that grabbed hold of Jesus. It was Jesus that grabbed him and pulled him up. Get back in the boat, son. It was Jesus who always saves. He knows the flaws of our life because He forgave us for every one of them. Now that is love. Set the goal. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path. There's Jesus. I'm going to Him to glorify Him. Whatever hits me, I must keep going. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Then stick to the path and stay safe. Don't get sidetracked. Whew. Life will sidetrack us because we get afraid. Well, I have faith in Jesus, but what if? Well, let me help you with this. The but what ifs, they're going to be there. So you don't have to say the what ifs. I guarantee you, when you start walking in the direction of Jesus Christ, all hell is going to come against you. So it's up to you whether or not you stay on the path. Through your own mind, through your own spirit. It's up to you. Do you trust that Jesus is going to follow through with His promise to you? I do. It is never with me about the living or dying. It's to me, it's saying, how do you live now? Of all the past mistakes that I've made, and there are multiplicities of them, of all those sins of life and all that God has forgiven me for, let my end days be better than the days which I began. God's blessing reaches down and He says, just keep your eyes on me. You know what that does for me? That does for me, it gives me peace. Because it's not my job to clear that path. That's Jesus' job. And He always takes care of His children. Principle number 5, count the cost. You know, listen to me, Christian. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, now I was a young boy. As a matter of fact, I can tell you this. I don't ever remember a time when I did not believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I don't ever remember a time. But I do remember the time when I went forward and made that public. I remember that time. I can look back on my childhood days now and see Jesus walking with this snotty-nosed kid from Buffalo Hill in Buffalo, Kentucky, and protecting me through Dominican Republic combat, through the Vietnam combat. It is always God who watched over me. It's always counting the cost before you take the step. Many Christians don't do that. I didn't as a young kid. All I knew was the preacher said, who wants to say except Jesus, come forward. And folks, this young 8-year-old hit that aisle by himself. No adults at all around. My dad was dead. My mom was having to work all the time. Nobody around. I walked out, walked down that aisle, and I floated down that aisle. I know this would be hard for some of you to believe, but I remember getting there. And in those days, the pastor would invite you to make a comment of your commitment. Why are you here, Larry? And I remember, well, looking at that congregation, I don't remember the fear. I remember looking at them and saying, I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, and I want to follow Him in baptism. I remember saying that. I don't ever remember learning that before I said it. I don't ever remember learning it. I didn't think of it. But one thing that I do know, count the cost. Evaluate what's going on. Look at the situation. Proverbs 20, verse 25. It is foolish and rash to make a promise to the Lord before counting the cost. Foolish and rash. Lord, I promise you. Lord, I promise you, I'm going to come in, I'm going to go to church next Sunday. Unless something comes up. Unless something here happens or something there happens. Well, I'm the first one to tell you this. Coming to church don't make you a Christian. Coming to church does not make you a Christian. Sitting in a pew does not make you a Christian. Accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, that's what makes you a Christian. But to make God a promise foolishly, now do you think there's truly any wisdom in that one? God says, I want you to count that cost because it's foolish and rash to make a promise to the Lord before counting the cost. You may have to stand against someone in your own family. You may have to stand there alone, but you have it in your heart that God is the one who's leading you to do what you're doing, though you're standing by yourself. And if you must stand by yourself, you stand anyway. You stand strong. Though the enemy cut you down, stand. And when you're knocked down, stand back up. And when you're knocked down again, stand back up. And when you've been knocked down so many times, you can't stand. Tell God on them. Count the cost. Principle 6. Plan for problems. Oh. How many plans have you made over the years? Oh, we got this great vacation planned out. How'd that work out for you? Plan for problems. Would you plan for that problem? No, I was too busy planning for the excitement, not for problems. Problems are going to be there. And the closer you walk with the Lord, more problems. and the more problems, more power from Almighty God to give you the courage and the boldness and the wisdom to get through it. But it's all in who Jesus is in you. Not who you are. Not in your power. Not in your earthly riches. Who is Jesus in you? And you want to plan for problems? Let Jesus go first. Christian, would you please quit telling the Lord you got this? You don't have this. Jesus says, trust me. That's the wise way of walking any path. I don't care what you're planning. A vacation, fun time, get out in the yard and howl at the moon. But some people may have been in long enough pretty soon to start wanting to do that. Well, the weather's changing. Start howling. God says, Proverbs 22:3, a sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares to meet them. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. Plan for a problem. Well, you really think a problem's coming? I don't know. But I will know whether I have a plan for it if it does. Now, here's something I've noticed in our generation. All of us, or 99% of people, have a spare tire in their vehicle. I used to chuckle because, you know, I could change a tire. I could pop that jack underneath there and raise that car, do anything I wanted. I could change my own oil. I could, on my old 1952 Chevy pickup, I was so smart, I watched a mechanic one time because the gears would lock in the column shift. And I thought, how am I ever going to? And I watched him get underneath and shake them, get them right. I was ready to rent myself out to anybody that had trouble with a 1952 Chevy pickup because I could fix it. But you know what I've noticed lately? I don't have any idea where my spare tire is in my truck. And even if I know where it is, I don't know that I'd be smart enough to figure out the jack to jack up the truck. Well, preacher, you're pretty dumb. Watch it. Have any of you ever thought about where your spare tire is? You know how to change it? Well, no, I call roadside service. Well, I do too. What if roadside service isn't servicing because of the coronavirus? What are you going to do? Plan for problems. Watch ahead. Now that I've said that, it's really aggravating me because I don't have any idea, really, as I said, where that tire is. So it wouldn't do me any good if I could figure out in the book how to jack it up. Therefore, I got a professional watching after me. His name is Jesus. Now, I don't expect him to change my tire. But now, let me tell you something. If Jesus wants me from this point to the other, I guarantee you somebody will be there. Somebody will pull over and say, hey, preacher, I heard you weren't too smart and didn't even know how to change a tire. Well, I know that truck, and I saw it was flat. I'm smart enough to change a tire. You see, that's the Christian walk. That's what we do with each other. So therefore, plan for a problem. Principle number 7. Oh, it's a big one. Face your fears. I'm afraid. Well, welcome to the real world called life. All of us have fears. It's not that you are afraid. It's that you know a Savior. It's that that Savior has given you the wisdom to understand something. You're so afraid that you can't move. You're standing there almost at attention. You feel your body trembling. The fear is all over you. The enemy is coming through the jungle. You're standing there. solid fear. And you go anyway. You go anyway. You fall back on your training. You fall back on what you have learned. You fall back on the wisdom of Almighty God. That's what we do. Face those fears. I don't run from my fears anymore. Facing them many times, I've been knocked down. Facing them many times, I've trembled. But I got news for you. Jesus has always been there, and He always shall be. Proverbs 29:25. Fear of man is a dangerous trap, but to trust in God means safety. All of these are printed for you on our webpage. Fear of man is a dangerous trap, but to trust in God means safety. Come on. I want my family safe. I trust in God. God tells me, use wisdom. What's the wisdom? If there's a disease out there that is killing people and is going to harm someone, say, you get it, but I have protected you to the point that you don't even know you have it. Don't you realize the importance of others may not be that blessed? Their immune system is not up to your immune system for multi different reasons. And you could give it to them. Oh, they need to trust Jesus. No, you need to act right, Christian. And you need to use the sense that God has given you instead of the knowledge of your peer group. Now, young folk, I know it's difficult when you're young not to have a bad case of the stupids. And watching TV and watching those that are on the beaches and those laughing about nothing can touch me. I went in the Marine Corps at 17. 17. I joined the Marines. My mother had to sign for me. I told her not to sweat it. And that day in 1963, the Bay of Pigs was over. All the problems with Cuba, as far as I was concerned, was over. I said, Mom, no reason for you not to sign for me to go on in, because, see, nothing's going on. I'm just going to go in the Marine Corps and get some training, because this boy needed a lot of discipline in his life. And when your father's dead and your mom's at work all the time, you're not going to self-discipline. Parents, your children will not self-discipline. They're going to do what is natural for them to do. They're going to have a bad case of the stupids several times throughout their life. Therefore, you and I, as individuals that have gone through it, need to pay attention. But I go in. I'm invincible. I become a Marine. Invincible. Go to the Dominican Republic in Santo Domingo to fight the rebels. I'm invincible. I'm sitting on a front porch of one of the houses. Sitting there. Tracer rounds start coming in. This invincible individual froze. Terrified. It's Marine. Get up, Marine. Look. You can tell anybody, Marines or anybody else, to get up, but if their body won't move, it's frozen, terrified. And then that hand of that second lieutenant reaches around that door, drags me in, get in here, stupid, drags me in that house. Oh, I love that man. I've told you all that story. But you see, it's not that you're invincible, young person. Because when the tracer rounds of life start coming in, you just think you know how you're going to act. Until you're right in the heart of combat, you have no idea how you're going to react to it. Therefore, you need wisdom. Listen to those who have the wisdom. Pay attention to those warnings that you continue to give. Fear of man is a dangerous trap. Fear will get you petrified. But I got a God who sent His Son. His Son died on a cross for me. And He promised me when I said yes, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And He loves me. Every time He pulls me out of the ditch of life, He gives me a hug. Jesus is not afraid of the coronavirus. Jesus wants me to listen to Him with wisdom and protect and use common sense. Principle 8. Here it is. Step out in faith. Peter, come on. Peter stepped out of that boat in faith. What happened? Life. He looked at the world. All hell had come down. There was a storm raging. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was fine. But sometimes, those storms of life are so loud that we won't listen, though the voice is so solid and so quiet within our heart. Trust me. Trust me. And he turned his eyes away from Christ. Have you done that? Have you turned your eyes away from Jesus? Are you not looking straight to him in faith? It is a time for the church in America to get back together. Folks, we've played around long enough. We've watched the greatest nation that we've never known of almost come to their knees. Now, I want you to pay attention to the greatest God creation has ever heard of as He puts His hand down and He says, America, repent, pray, turn to me. I will save you, heal your land, and make you prosperous once again. Turn to me. Faith. I have faith that God has the answer. And I know in whom that answer came to us. He lives in me and He lives in the heart of all Christians. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart. You hear me? I said all your heart. Now, your heart and your mind are at war. Have you ever noticed that? Your heart tells you it's going to be okay. Satan tells you in your mind, all is lost. Folks, I serve a God that looked upon the chaos and nothing existed. I serve a God who created from nothing. And He created from nothing to put together all the universes that exist, all the heavens, the earth, all that is out here. He put it together. But listen to me now. Come on. Pay attention to me. He put it together for the human race. He said, I love you this much. That's why I want you to be wise in your decisions. Read my word. I'll give you the answer. What a test. Hey, Larry, I got a question for you. By the way, make sure you get your Bible. And now, Larry, I want you to turn to a scripture. Here's a test. I'm going to ask you, as you're looking at it and reading it, what does that scripture say? He gives me the answer. That's an open book quiz, folks. Our problem is not that it's an open book, it's that our heart's not open to receiving it. You know, to put your eyes on something, well, great song for Brother Randy to write. Put your eyes on Jesus. Think about what Jesus wants in your life. Trust the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. That has not gotten us very far. Remember the Lord in all you do, and He will give you success. The stock market, everything collapsing, I got news for you. That was not where your strength was anyway. The strength of this nation, the strength of the family, is in the leadership within that family or within that nation. A leadership that will let you know that I want you to trust your heart. I want you to believe in me. Though it looks bad on your path, I didn't tell you it was your responsibility to clean all of that off. I told you to set the goal, head for that goal. I'll take care of what's in your path. I just want you to have faith in me that I will do it. That's what my Savior says. My Savior happens to love me. Your Savior, Jesus Christ, happens to love you. And He said, I want to put you all together. Now you all start planning on Easter Sunday morning, 11 a.m., Vine Grove Baptist Church parking lot. We'll listen to them on you'll listen to the word on WKMO. You stay in your vehicle. Roll your windows down if you want to, but don't you dare get close to each other. But you enjoy the family of God getting together as best we can. Now, there's always a way, but use wisdom in that way. Trust God. Plead the blood. Pray. Wash your hands. Let's pray.